and gospel on this June the 6th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and I'm really looking forward to today because we are going to be taking a look at one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. Yes, my favorite chapter is Revelation chapter 5, which really is about the ascension of Jesus into heaven. But you know the name of our program, Law and Gospel. What does that mean? What verses could I point you to help explain what we mean by law and gospel? Because most people think law, Ten Commandments. Gospel, Jesus died on the cross. No, that's not what really we mean by law and gospel. And what I'm excited about, it just so happens that a portion of the epistle reading for this coming Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, is from my favorite law and gospel chapter, Galatians chapter 3. If you ever want to understand what law and gospel is about from God's point of view, without becoming idolatrous and assuming that you know the difference between law and gospel, read Galatians 3. Every other religion in the world outside of Christianity is an idolatrous religion because, as I said last week, they make God in their own image. And when they talk about law and gospel, they often talk about the law as a way to heaven, if you will only be obedient sufficiently. That is not what the law is saying in the scriptures. What the law is saying in the scriptures is that it shows you cannot do anything in order to gain heaven. Boy, is that ever a strange and unique teaching. So, let's just kind of take a look at various portions of the Galatians 3 chapter, including the reading for this coming Sunday. Paul starts off, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Now, what that word means is somebody has faked you out. You had one point of view, and then someone bewitched you, and now you have a different point of view. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? What a difference. That is the essence of the entire Bible. When we talk about did we receive the Spirit, it's just another way of saying, how were you converted? I mean, even among Christians, there's this advertisement we have here in St. Louis where this pastor gives the impression that if you only invite Christ into your heart or if you say a certain prayer, then you will receive the Spirit. Is that not doing a work of the law? The law is very clear that we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible is also very clear is that you can't do anything in order to achieve that salvation. Paul makes it very clear. You didn't receive the Spirit by doing something, saying something, praying something, inviting Christ into the heart. You received it by hearing with faith. Now, is that a new understanding? Not at all. It's actually what the Bible says, that we are not saved by sight. We are saved instead by hearing. Wow. That's really kind of important. Romans 10 really touches on that very clearly. How will they then call on him in whom they have not believed? See, it's impossible for an unbeliever to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. If they call on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means they already believe. And if they already believe, then there is no reason to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, because that's what faith has done. He goes on, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never, what, seen? Obeyed? No. Of whom they have never heard. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Wow. Verse 17 is just a wonderful summary. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You can't find a better statement in the entire Bible that faith comes not by our doing anything, but by hearing the word of Christ. And that's what Galatians 3 is backing up. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? See, the point he's making is, you came to faith through hearing the word of God, and now you think you're going to stay in the faith by doing good works, by what your flesh does? No. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, what follows next is Paul gives an example from the Old Testament. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Wow, is that ever good? Abraham did not become righteous before God by becoming righteous before God, by his works. He became righteous before God by believing the promise of God, that through him would come a great nation, through Isaac would come the Messiah, etc., etc. He believed those promises. He even believed them when he went to the altar to sacrifice Isaac. And people say, wait a minute. If he believed it was Isaac through whom would come the Messiah, how could he possibly put him to death? And the answer is found in Hebrews. Abraham believed that even were he to sacrifice Isaac, put him to death by a knife and by burning him, that God would raise him from the dead. Well, how did he know that? Because at this time in the Old Testament, we don't know of anybody who had been raised from the dead. But you see, Hebrews explains that Abraham considered Isaac to come from a dead womb. Remember, Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. And so if God can enliven a dead womb to bring forth a child, he would have no problem bringing forth Isaac, even if he had been sacrificed. It is that faith that's given to him by the Holy Spirit through which God considers Abraham to be righteous. This is not found in any other religion of the entire world. That is to say that your righteousness is from God's point of view, not from your point of view. See, that's another way in which we become idolatrous. We try and figure out if we are righteous enough by our works. You never will be righteous enough by your works. But you are righteous enough in God's sight through believing a promise. Verse 7, and we're going at Galatians chapter 3. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. What? What does that mean? Well, if you go to Romans 9, it says, not all Israel is of Israel. What that means is, just because you're a member of Israel, that doesn't mean that you're a member of the true Israel. Being a member of Israel meant that you were related back to Abraham. But you see, the true Israel is the Holy Christian Church. Therefore, you don't have to be Jewish to be a member of the true Israel. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male or female, slave or free. That's what Galatians says. So, how are you saved? What did you do? You did nothing. God adopted you into his family. And you came to that faith by hearing the word of God. That's why, are you a son of Abraham? Those of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Wow. This is really good news. It's good news to all those who are struggling and wondering, am I going to be saved? I mean, ask most people, if you were to die today, would you go right to heaven? And very few people say, absolutely. Although, I was out with a vicar. A vicar is an individual who's assigned to a congregation in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 1 year before he goes back to the seminary for his fourth year. And we were at a shut-in's house, and I looked at the woman and I said, and she was receiving the Lord's Supper. She was ill and unable to come to church. I said, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? She said, most certainly, because Jesus has died and rose for my sins. Where does she get that assurance? Through faith. Because she had already confessed when we do the Lord's Supper that we're poor, miserable sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. You want to rely on your works in order to get you to heaven? Listen to verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written. Now listen to this very carefully, because there's no doubt that Christians do fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is a tremendous good work. Why can't you count on those occasional fruit of the Holy Spirit to get you to heaven? Listen to verse 10, Galatians 3. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So there's no doubt that some Christians do more fruit of the Holy Spirit than others because of an increase in faith as they have studied God's word and heard a lot of preaching, proper preaching, that is. But guess what? None of it counts towards your salvation. Any more than when you have a child and he eats the food you give him, wears the clothes you provide him, sleeps in the bed you bought for him, none of that makes him your child. Those are the results of being your child. Your child became your child either by being begotten or being adopted. All the good things he receives and does afterwards doesn't make him your child. It is a consequence of being your child. So also all the good works that you and I do before Almighty God, none of it justifies us before God. None of it does. Because you can't even do one proper good work until you're already totally justified. Oh, you want a Bible verse for that? Verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For, and now he's quoting the Old Testament, the righteous shall live by faith. And so Paul's going to really explain to you why you can't look to the law to think that you're righteous by faith. It's verse 12. The law is not of faith. See, what's of faith? That's something you believe. Paul goes on, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. See, that's the meaning of the law. Now, I'm not saying that there's no good purpose for the law. God has three purposes of the law. He gives the law to the government to make sure that peace remains here on earth. So we have speed limits in order that we don't have a lot of car accidents. That's a good use of the law. Also, when a Christian wants to know, what is God's will for my life right now? What decision should I make? You can look to the law to see what God's will is. But the primary use of the law in the church is not to help someone get to heaven by their obedience. It's to show them that nobody can get to heaven by any obedience. For a very simple reason. Obedience, proper obedience from God's point of view, cannot possibly occur until you are fully saved. Because proper obedience is not known by its action, but by its motivation. And proper obedience is always because of my trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I can't have that trust until I have faith. And if I have faith, then I am fully saved. Therefore, my obedience can never be a cause of my salvation. It is also always a consequence of my salvation. You see, when you and I were born with original sin. And we were under what's called the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death is the result. Listen to verse 13, Galatians 3. I tell you, this chapter is so good in law and gospel. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the word redeem referred in Jesus' day to the buying of a person out of slavery. Well, how did Jesus buy us out of slavery? How could he redeem us from the curse of the law? Because the curse of the law is that because of our sin, we should die eternally in hell. What could Jesus possibly pay in order to offset that payment? Well, let's read the whole verse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. How did he do that? For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Wow. Jesus was hanged on the remnants of a tree, the wood. In fact, just last week when we were going over the Bible study about prophecy and fulfillment, we came to a very interesting passage that said, someone who is hung on a tree is cursed and therefore must be buried the very same day he dies. And it suddenly struck me that when the unbelieving Pharisees and priests went to Pontius Pilate and begged him to take Jesus down from the cross and bury him because they couldn't do it on the following day, the Sabbath, they were actually fulfilling that Old Testament verse that Jesus was cursed. Because he was buried on the same day in which he was hung. And if somebody had come up to them and said, no, you really don't want to go to Pontius Pilate and ask him to take Jesus down from the grave and bury him today, because that will fulfill what the Old Testament says about a person being cursed. Let him stay on the cross through Saturday, and then the prophecy would not have been fulfilled, and everyone would go to hell. Wow. They did the prophecy without even knowing about it. Let me read that whole verse. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. How important is it for evangelism that you understand law and gospel, that there is no obedience to the law that can move a person even one inch closer to salvation? Because salvation occurs through trusting the promises. Well, you can understand how important that is for evangelism. I made a point, I'm going to talk more about this on Wednesday in the I believe, because things may change. But at this point, I'm planning for Insight Wednesday to talk about that it is really almost impossible for a lay person to teach the Christian faith. But it is not at all impossible for them to witness the Christian faith. Well, what are you talking about? Isn't that the same thing? No. It's a huge difference. We'll talk about that Wednesday. The point I want to make right now is a person comes to salvation by trusting the promises of the gospel, not doing the law, or even trusting the promises of the law. For example, there are promises of the law. Do this and you will live. Well, you see, that very statement is true. But the fact is, nobody can do the law. Remember, the verse says very clearly, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. So even if, which I don't think is possible, for a person, every work he does, 80% of it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, that still doesn't save him, because he's not doing all things. 20% of it are works done out of self-interest. And by the way, I don't know what the percentages are, but God does, because he can read the heart. We can't even read our own heart. Well, what the Apostle Paul is saying, where did he learn this? Well, remember, after he was converted, he went to Arabia, then Damascus, and 3 years later, he then went and visited Peter. 3 years. It kind of gets me thinking that in our seminary education, for a pastor to be ordained, they spend 2 years at the seminary, 1 year on vicarage, that's being assigned to another congregation for a year, and then they come back for a fourth year. Isn't that interesting? 3 years. And we'll talk more about that on Wednesday, why that is so important. The point we're trying to make today is really pretty simple. And it's on the basis of our reading from Galatians 3. If you rely on the works of the law for the assurance of being saved, you are really under a curse. And you don't even realize that. It's unfortunate if you turn on evangelical radio stations that you hear a lot about this, that you need to be good in order to be saved. There's even one popular preacher who says, the reason you don't get blessed very often is because you are not obedient enough. Boy, how would you like to have God as your father speak like that? Yeah, the reason I'm not blessing you is you got to be more obedient. When he recognizes you as being a poor, sinful being, it's just a terrible teaching to children. And it certainly is a worse teaching for people who want to be saved eternally. No, our salvation is based not on our obedience. It's based on the obedience of Jesus Christ. He obeyed the Father. At his baptism, he became sin for us. At his crucifixion, he paid the price for our sin. At the resurrection, we find the assurance that the price was sufficiently paid. And at his ascension, he now reigns from the right hand of God, keeping all his promises to you. Christianity is the only religion that teaches that you don't have to do good works in order to be saved. Instead, you are free to do good works without any compulsion whatsoever, because you have already received the greatest gift that a person can ever receive, and that is one salvation. And that salvation came about not because of works of the law, but through faith in the promises. A huge law and gospel distinction. And as I said, We've only touched in Galatians 3. You can actually have about 25 sermons just on Galatians 3 because it is so filled with insights that a lot of people don't recognize. On tomorrow's Long Gospel, we'll be taking a look at the hymn that's assigned for this next Sunday. And with us will be our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. So tune in tomorrow. You have a question, like for Open Mic Friday or for any other day we might answer it, email me at lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.